Caring about others. Thinking about a friend, speaking kindly, or being generous are warm-hearted opportunities for a positive experience. Loving thoughts, words, and deeds usually feel good. In fact, one study found that reward centers in the brain activated more when people chose to give money to charity rather than to keep it for themselves. Caring includes both inner experiences and outer behaviors. Internally, you could recall someone you like. Externally, you could smile at a stranger, touch someone in sympathy, tuck a child into bed, or stop interrupting your wife. I've been working on this one myself. For extra benefits, you can be happy while anticipating an act of caring, happy while doing it, and happy while remembering it. And your caring toward others just might evoke more caring from them toward you. Here is one man's example of taking in a loving experience. Holding my baby grandson in my arms as I swayed and sang gently, his eyes closed, his breathing became regular, and he went to sleep. I savored the sense of holding something precious for several minutes and allowed the sense of this moment to dwell within, abiding here. Astonishing. Seeing good in the lives of others. One kind of caring about others is so important that I want to single it out here. Our ancestors lived in small bands in which individuals needed to cooperate to keep their children and one another alive in tough conditions. The evolving capacity to take pleasure in the joys and successes of others likely helped deepen the bonds of caring that promoted survival and the passing on of genes. Being happy that others are happy is an innate and powerful inclination of the human heart. And it gives you endless opportunities to feel good, since there is always someone somewhere who is happy about something. Think about a good fact in the life of someone you care about. Then see if you can feel pleased and glad for this person. This is sometimes called altruistic joy, happiness at the good fortune of others. If it is hard to have much sense of this, try it with a child you know or can imagine. Perhaps a little kid opening a present, or licking an ice cream cone, or playing with a puppy. If other feelings come up, such as sadness about your own difficulties, that's common. Be aware of such feelings, but then gently bring your attention back to what you want to encourage in your mind, happiness at the welfare of others. Try this with various people in your life. Then, with people you don't know, such as strangers on the street, or in the news, or imagined far away. Personally, I love this practice. Besides being kind to others, it gradually opens your heart. Plus, it's a great way to undo feelings of envy, jealousy, or ill will. When you do this practice, thoughts about what's bad in your life are replaced by warm feelings about what's good in the lives of others. Imagining good facts. The midline cortical networks that enable our uniquely human abilities to think about the future and the past are the neural foundation of that wonderful inner movie theater, the imagination. If you're like me, it's way too easy to use that theater for bad purposes, like replaying again and again a hurtful interaction. Instead, use it for good purposes, such as imagining good facts that could be true, and even ones that couldn't be. Things that could be true. I haven't surfed, but I really like videos of people riding huge waves. When I think about doing this myself, it makes me feel excited and happy. This imagined fact will likely never come to pass, but at least it's possible, and thus a potential source of a positive experience. You can use this method in a variety of ways. You can imagine a loved one's voice talking you through a challenging situation. If you have talents that haven't been fully used, consider what it might be like if they were. If you wished you felt stronger, imagine having a black belt in karate. If you'd like to feel more peaceful, imagine sitting quietly in nature. In each case, be realistic about what you might feel. Don't overdo it, which would undermine the power of this practice. Things that couldn't be true. You can also use your inner theater to imagine good facts that could never be true for you. Deep down in the emotional memory centers of your brain, imagined experiences build neural structures through mechanisms similar to those that actual lived experiences use. You're not using this method to delude yourself about what's been missing, or to slip into a rosy fantasy world that distracts you from improving this one. You still know what's true. You just suffer it less. For example, I've known people who never received any kind of loving parenting. Feeling loved in this way is important for healthy psychological development, and the lack of it leaves a wound in the heart. For these people, it was a powerful experience to imagine a loving parent and then take in feelings of being cuddled, soothed, and cherished. This didn't mean they forgot what had actually happened in their childhood, but they were resourceful on their own behalf, finding ways to give themselves at least some sense of a vital experience, feeling cherished by a loving parent. Though it wasn't a miracle cure, this practice made a big difference to them.